DavidRenicky.com, great website. I love chatting to the man because he knows more about than just what he's writing about. David, hello.
Love to be with you, Vilko. Back again. Thank you.
Always good to be here. You've got to tell me about what's happening in the South Australian outback, the Woomera Testing Range site. I'm seeing the story about fragments of asteroid due to land. Can you explain further on this one? It sounds exciting, but is it dangerous?
No, it's not. No, it's a good, very good scientific mission, this one. The Japanese are good at one thing and one thing only. Well, when I say one thing only, they put an astronaut into space. But yeah, within the space business, they're good at landing on asteroids and picking up little samples, and that's what they've done. They've got a spacecraft called Hayabusa. Now, that has landed on an asteroid recently, and they're heading back here with a sample from that asteroid. This is a sample that we've been wanting to get for a long time. The asteroid they've chosen there is very rich in water, molecules of water, compounds of water. Water is very, very interesting because it can contain bacteria or latent bacteria and signs of early life. And also, it's very, very carbon-rich, we believe. We're not sure, but we think the building blocks of life, we call them organics, may be trapped in the rock. And if it does, remember we talked about panspermia.
Yes.
That process of moving life from one rock to another courtesy of asteroids. And if we find this stuff in this sample, there's a good chance that life could have been seeded anywhere in the universe by the same process.
That's incredible. I love those sort of stories, and I love the fact they're all so connected, and that's what's so good about all this information. This gets me too. I can't believe that something from the 60s is still surviving in upper orbit. What have they found?
Well, I am.
Well, I'm excited too because anything from 1965 or 6 still up and circulating is obviously worthy of grabbing and putting to a space museum.
Yeah, they built them well back in those days, I tell you. The story is this, that very recently the telescope complex in Hawaii called Pan-STARRS, which looks for a whole bunch of stuff, planets around other stars and you name it, they picked up something odd there recently and they couldn't work out what it was. It was, for all intents and purposes, an asteroid, but it didn't have the profile of an asteroid, and it wasn't moving in the right sort of circles that an asteroid would do. And they've come to the decision now that they think this may be a booster from 1966, an old rocket booster, probably about the size of a petrol tanker. And what we had then, we had a mission called Surveyor. Surveyor was a prelude to the moon landing, where NASA sent spacecraft to the moon.
Yep.
To have a look at it and find out what the surface is like. Our telescopes can't get up that close onto the surface within a foot or maybe half a foot or whatever. And these spacecraft did that. And when they were coming into the moon, a lot of them crash landed on the moon. And they take thousands of photographs before it actually hit. And out of that, they'd probably get a few dozen good shots. But one of the missions went astray. Surveyor went astray. And apparently it did crash the moon, but we lost contact with it and had no direction and ability on it. So what we've got here is the booster in orbit there, or was in orbit, that's dipped it away,
yeah,
and it's now come back for return journey. We don't understand why it's here or how it came back, but it must have been pulled in by the gravity of the Earth over a period of time, over 40-odd years or so, and it's now coming closer and closer. On December 1, we'll get a good look at it with a telescope and then be able to determine whether or not it's what we think it is. It's more than likely it's what it will be.
I want to get technical on you. I want to say it's a transwarp conduit going back in time and it's brought it forward. Ooh. Or something. That's the Star Trek explanation anyway. So,
Well, it could be V'ger. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, God, wasn't that a great concept for a show on that original Star Trek motion picture?
Had me right to the end. I couldn't believe it. And when we found out what it was, I thought, Yeah, that's a great way to end a movie.
Yeah.
But this one is not a movie, it's a reality. And if we could get out there and grab that and bring it back, you know, we'd have a pristine piece of the space program.
That'd be beautiful,
that,
wouldn't it?
That's remained untouched all that time.
What about this? The ISS has, found a bunch of bacteria that can survive outside in space, and it's done it for well over a year. So, I mean, this is the possibility of, you know, anything from another world, another life form, can survive the vacuum of space and make its way here. It's just proof, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was all about. About 12 months ago, they put some bacteria, in other words, cans of meat with bacteria in it outside the space station there. And the type of bacteria there was pretty hardy. was something that you know, astronomers believe might be fairly common on other worlds or in rocks or whatever. And the type of experiment was interesting. They wanted to see, after 12 months exposure to the radiation of space, to the temperature fluctuations you get there, the microgravity, all the things that would kill it, almost anything that we know of, it was just it was affected by that over all that time. And cut a long story short, they've now taken that back inside and brought it back to the laboratory, or will be bringing it back, and they're going to examine it because it seems to still be alive. It doesn't seem to be killable. Bacteria like this is pretty hardy. And again, it reinforces the possibility of panspermia.
That's right.
Because this is the type of stuff that, when it's exposed to the right conditions, okay, it could regenerate. Oxygen-rich atmosphere, a carbon-rich ocean of some sort, like happened on the Earth here. And, of course, that necessary spark to get the whole thing going, and that's lightning. So this bacteria is pretty strong, and it has survived. And we know now that we can take this to other worlds too, because bacteria can also regenerate soil and aid in growing things in the future. It's interesting, isn't it?
It's just beautiful. I mean, and the thing is, the sci-fi people turn stories like that into hit it with a bit of radiation and it mutates into something that's totally evil and, you know, melodramatic.
Well, it shows us that the lowest forms of life that we can get, when I say the lowest, the most basic forms of life that we've ever experienced and found in human history are probably the strongest.
Yeah.
So these rocks that we see falling and asteroids out there, meteors that come down, inside them may be bacteria like this that one day just sitting there waiting for the right conditions to regenerate, and over millions and millions and probably hundreds of millions of years, they can grow into, more advanced life forms.
Yeah. Hey, one final thing.
It's only a theory.
Yeah. And one final thing, Dave, before we go. Apparently 7 planets are visible in the night sky this week. Which ones?
Yeah, they're all up there. We had a look last night. It's great to go out and have a look there. When you do that, just have a look towards to the west from, 2/3 of the way up the sky. What you're looking at is a red giant, red star, big star. And that's Mars. Then follow that line straight overhead and a little bit down towards the west about 8 o'clock at night. You'll see 2 stars close together. Well, they're really planets, Jupiter and Saturn, coming closer together. Then Uranus and Neptune. Now, you've got to have an app to find those, but you can pick them up with a pair of binoculars or a telescope. So you've got all of those in a row, and in the early morning sky, don't forget, you've got Venus, the morning star rising in the early east. It's a beautiful sight to have a look at. Look, a bit of a heads up here. We'll talk about this in the weeks to come. But in your diary, mark the 21st of December. I think I mentioned this too. This is my birthday, of course.
Okay, well, Dave's birthday, that's very important. Cards accepted maybe money, Monopoly money?
I don't know. But the two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, are going to come very close together. It's a nice pairing. We're going to see this happen in the sky. And the last time we saw it this close was 1623. 14 years after Galileo made his first telescope. So it's a pretty rare
event. And we're seeing it this year, December 21. Wow.
Yeah, 21 December. The two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, will be so close together, they'll almost be touching. They'll look like they're touching, but they won't be. But they'll be a great sight and a good photographic opportunity too, with the moon coming up.
More at davidrenicki.com. Check out the website. Of course, it's all up on the social media too. David, till next week, mate.
Thank you. See you then, Booker.